Hallelujah. Well, happy Father's Day. Not a cliche, but really happy Father's Day to all the dads. And well, today we celebrate Father's Day. That's our topic today. I want to talk to you about the prodigal son, story of a father's love and redemption. You know, I don't, each year I struggle with these kind of special, really special occasions because for me, for some reason, I just don't have a, I like to teach on a series of something. But the Lord inspired me. It's good to be inspired. And I was inspired by my dad, thinking about my own dad. I get strength from thinking about my dad and how he lived and how he survived. He was such a survivor. He did a lot of things that I'm proud of today that I myself am ashamed of. Couldn't be like him in some ways, but thank God for him, and I'm sure every one of you. And I don't know, whatever you experienced with your dad, you know, everything can be redeemed. Things can be redeemed. And like myself, like Pastor Ken, I never had a real good relationship with my dad. I was, you know, away a lot in my life. My dad worked out of town a lot. He worked in the bush as a as a traditional worker. He was a traditional man. He worked all his life. He never read a book. He couldn't speak English. He didn't go to school. He never went to church. He spent all his time in the bush. And so, one problem was we couldn't communicate very much. He never spoke very clear English, and I didn't speak very good Ojibwe. And he just spoke to me in his own language, and we somehow survived. I know my dad honored me as a dad as well before he left. He was very proud of me, my achievements. He always told me, go to school and do something. Don't live like I did. And he spent all his life, like I said, he was a hunter, trapper. He worked in resorts, doing camping, fishing outings for American tourists and hunters. He did that all the time and worked seasonal work for the what they called before Lands and Forests, a long time ago. I don't know if anybody remember that name, but it's called Natural Resources. I don't know what they call it today. They keep changing the names. But that's what he did in his life. He worked, did that, and worked very, very hard. He would walk 50 miles just to get to his trap line and stay out there, and never had a car, never drove a car. And I used to remember my father when he would go to store to do something, and instead of bringing back sugar, he'd bring back salt. Because he would different things like that. So my wife always tells me when I come bring the wrong thing, she said, just like your dad. In so many ways. I was watching my pictures the other day and getting a haircut. I look exactly like my dad. And it's hard to say that today. You know, you don't want to look like your dad. How many people want to look like your dad unless you look like Elvis? Well, my dad was a handsome man when he was young. I was told that my dad was very handsome, was a very attractive man, that he had to fight him off. Fight him off. So anyway, I honor my dad today, and I know he's in heaven, rejoicing. Before he left, you know, he says to me, he said, Roma, how am I going to recognize Mom up there? There's going to be so many people. How am I going to find Mom when I get to heaven? I said, oh, no, the Lord will show you. He'll have that arranged already. So he was concerned about seeing Mom, and I know my mom's up in heaven, and they're rejoicing, waiting for us. It's very short. Life is short. How many people know life is very, very short, right? Life is very short. And, you know, we're getting up there, Pastor Ken. You better do good for the rest of your life and play with Joe. Hey, Joe, praise God. He doesn't like that, so sorry, Joe. Anyway, we'll play with him after a while. I mean, he'll give him. Joe, when he was a little kid, he'd come to my office all the time and look for candy. He hasn't been there for a long time, so I might have to invite him again back. So praise God. Let's go to our scripture this morning. Welcome everybody online. If you're watching, wherever you're watching, welcome to Faith City Church. If you're not a, if you're in a city, we want to welcome you to come and visit us and become a part of this ministry. This is a tremendous ministry reaching out across Canada, reaching out to our city. And somebody told me it's one of the best kept secrets in Thunder Bay, this Faith City Church and Spirit Alive Television. So we're well blessed here with all our staff, all our people. All right, let's look at some scripture. We're going to go to a number of scriptures. I'm going to just, of course, this is Father's Day. We're talking about the prodigal son, the story of father's love and redemption. Let's go ahead and introduce this topic. And today we honor our fathers. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that all may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth." Hallelujah. There's a lot to say there in that scripture. Lots to say. So on this day, we take this special day out of each year to celebrate dads. I believe this is God's will that we honor and respect our parents. And, you know, no matter what our parents were like, we need to honor them. We need to honor our dads, our mom, because God said to do it. So we honor them. We take something that we find in our dads, our parents, and we take that and we celebrate that. You know, nobody is totally bad. So find something good about your dad today. Find something good. And one time, you know, I think everybody once in a while has had a negative relationship with their parent in some way or another. And certainly I think everyone here is included in that. There's sometimes we've had clashes with our children, but on this day we celebrate. So I believe this is God's will that we honor our dads today. Our fathers reflect many things that we enjoy today, which God has entrusted to our parents, our fathers, such as provision, protection, courage, and strength. These are some things that we get from our parents, our fathers. Fathers bring us security and stability, as well as, I mentioned, protection and provision. In the following illustration, we will see a father's heart for his two sons that we might all reflect on. And if it's not just sons, but children, of course. We see how much the Father loves us, the Bible says. 1 John 3, 1. We see how very much our Father loves us. That's talking about Father God. "For he calls us his children, God's children, that the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." You know, we recognize that we are all children of God because we're born again. The Spirit of God is in each one of us. And he tells us we're from the same family. We're all from the same family. God's our father. And we might look different. I'm not your twin. You're not someone else's twin, but we're all the same. And on the inside, God has given us his Spirit. We're the children of God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you today for every person that's listening. We pray by the Spirit of God that the anointing of the Spirit of God would destroy every yoke, melt every heart to love you and to love everyone, just like you've designed it. And we thank you for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we can do what you said that we can do. We thank you that we come to you with a heart that is open, teachable. And we thank you, Lord God, if there's anything that we need to put at the altar this morning, maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe we've said wrong things about our parents at some point and we haven't really recovered from that or really confessed that. So we confess that today. If we had negative words and emotions towards our parents, and we ask you to forgive us and forgive all the other things that have happened. We ask us, even if our fathers have hurt us in some way, either deliberate or not so deliberate, unknowingly, we ask that you forgive them. We want to thank you. We start this message on a note of surrendering our lives, but also in the prayer, in the spirit of forgiveness. We thank you that you know, you said in your word, if we don't forgive, our faith will not work. And so we thank you that faith works by love, forgiveness. And so we thank you that what we've prayed will come into effect, Him, and a big blessing will come. We thank You for everyone that's listening, that's watching online, that Your power would be right there with them, destroying everything that would cause them not to celebrate this special day. In Jesus' name, we thank You in advance. Amen. Amen. The prodigal son, we want to go to John chapter 15, verse 11 to 24, and then we're going to read the second part, verse 25 to 32. To illustrate this point further, Jesus told them a story. Verse 12. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want to share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, his younger son packed up all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The younger man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked so good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you, against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. So, party on. They began to party. So they began to have a great, great time. Let's read the second half of that chapter, of our last account. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what was going on? Your brother is back, he was told. Your father has killed a fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The old brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And all the time you've never gave me even one goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when the son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate this happy day. For your brother was dead, now he's come back to life. He was lost, now he's found. What can we learn from this illustration of a father's love, of a father and his two sons in a relationship with his children? We see the father's belief in his own parenting. You know, as we parent our children, you know, I'm a first-generation Christian. I was born again in my mid-20s. My wife was born in her late teens. She was 18 years old when she was born again. I was 24 when I was born again. And we were, you know, of course, we had... I went to church, but I was not born again. I went to church all my life, didn't know Jesus personally. I never knew him like I do today, like I did when I was 24 years old, came to Christ. So basically, we're first-generation Christians in our home, and we brought up our children with the love of God, brought them to church, prayed for them before they were ever even existed. We prayed in tongues, prayed over our children before they were even ever a memory or anything. And so you try to do your best as parents, and you provide for them. And so you build a home. And I remember making a promise to myself as a dad, I'm going to be a kind of dad my dad wasn't to me. I'm going to do everything he never did for me that I wanted. But how many people know your kids don't always want what you want? They don't always want the kind of parenting you had. I began to recognize that when you get older, your dad, you know, your relationship changes as you get older with your children, and your role becomes a little bit different as they get older. They don't want hugs and kisses on the schoolyard anymore, and they don't want you around. It's hard for a parent to take that because they're separating, they're finding their own identity. And this dad over here, I believe he believed in his parenting because he was expecting his son to come home. The Bible said he, from afar off, he was looking for his son. He was expecting. He had his faith out. He knew his son was out there doing that kind of life. And he knew the scripture. He knew, I believe, that Jesus taught us here that this father knew the scripture and that the scripture would always come to pass. Because anything we do, even though our parents, maybe our children will go astray, we know that they're going to come back because the scripture says, train up a child when he is old. When he's old, he'll never depart. He'll always come back to where what he learned, what she learned. It's amazing that a dad, a good dad, will believe in what he does, believes in the foundation of the Word of God. And this dad, I believe, believed in what he did with his son. Even though his son made wrong, he was still waiting for him over there. It's nice to have a parent who's waiting for you, a dad who's always there with open arms. And, you know, I've had my relationship with my own dad. As I said, I didn't really have a whole lot of relationship with my dad, but what I know about my dad, he was always nice to me. Sometimes he was too nice to me. He could have told me more, maybe, perhaps. Not like Samuel. Samuel and Eli. Eli didn't restrain his sons. You know the story of Eli? Anybody remember the story of Eli? He didn't restrain his sons. They were in the ministry with him, but they were doing bad things in the church. Anybody do bad things in the church? Except sleep, maybe. I don't know. Okay, so this dad, you know, he had belief. He had faith in the Word of God. He believed in what he taught his children. He believed that his son would eventually do the right thing because he taught his son. He believed that this dad believed that that this child would return home and do the things that he should be doing. You know, we always need to give our children the opportunity to start where they left off. And God does that for us, doesn't He? When we leave, you know, the things, if we had backslidden, you know, you don't have to go far to backslide. You could be in church and be backslidden and sit right inside of a church. You could be saying all the right things, doing the right things, but in your heart, you're so far away from God that it's not even funny. It's not a happy place to be. But we need to give our children, as dads, I'm talking to dads, that we need to give our kids that opportunity, always be there for your child. And if you read Ephesians there, it goes on, it says, Dad, you know, don't be so hard on your children that they feel so discouraged they can't come up to your standard. I always forget that I'm past 60 and I'm trying to teach my children what I've learned in 60 years that they should learn in 25 years. Yeah. And we have to be, you know, give them the word, all right, but they'll understand it at their level and they'll learn, and we have to be patient with our children and be open. Don't be so shocked when they do things. I was listening, I was reading Norval Hayes' story about him in Zona. Anybody hear a story about Norval Hayes? And you know, he's a great old man of God, a real prophetic anointing, very strong. Well, he was, you know, he was Brother Higgins, one of Brother Higgins' board of directors. And even in his home and church, the daughter went out and she got into drugs for a number of years and got married at the father's disapproval of who she was going to marry. And after 1 year, of course, it disappeared. The wedding or the marriage disintegrated. And she divorced him. They got divorced and she went out. And I believe she went to some college and he was working in the military. But she went on and went on a spree of being on drugs for years and lived at home and really while he's preaching. She would taunt him, but the devil would taunt Norval through the daughter. I said, how come you're ministering to kids and you can't even help your own kids? It sounds like the devil, isn't it? You can't even help your own children. And anyway, you know the story. And so he was got mean with the child. He said, you're dishonoring me, you're disrespecting, you're bringing shame to the family, and so on, so on. So he was really, really strong on this. And the Lord had to correct him and said, you know what? You got to love your child. Stop correcting your child that way. Stop being so mean to your child and love. And that's why your faith is not working. If you want your child to get out of that lifestyle, you're going to have to start loving your child no matter what happens. And the same with the children. You need to love your dad no matter what happens, no matter what they've done, no matter how they live. You need to forgive your mom and dad. And I had to do that at one time in my life. Learn to let go. Forgive means you let it go. Yeah. It never happened. You don't bring it up. And you say, you deserve this. I'm going to make sure you remember this for the rest of your life. And you're going to pay back everything that you did to me. So no, you have to let it go. That's what forgiveness means. It means to let it go. Release it. And so he had to, this man that I've talked to you about, that we admire so much, he prayed for his child, prayed and prayed and prayed, year after year, nothing happened. It can get pretty weary or wearing on you when you're believing something. How many people know that God is always faithful? It doesn't always seem like it when you're going through stuff, right? And you're seeing everybody else enjoying their kids and enjoying their family. You say, what about me? Why can't I have a nice Facebook picture today? Why don't they visit me? Ah, shut up. You tell yourself that, eh? You know, you have to talk to yourself like that. And, you know, Brother Hagin taught us, you know, there's no time to feel sorry for yourself. Not if you're going to be in faith. You cannot be in faith and be feeling sorry for yourself. It's absolutely impossible. Look at me. Look how bad. You can't be in faith and have that kind of life. You know, this is not something you do. If you want your faith to work, you need to, I was thinking about the story in Jeremiah and also in Isaiah, when the Bible says that in Jeremiah, we hear bitter weeping. Ramah is weeping for her daughter, for her children are gone to captivity. Remember that scripture in Jeremiah? And God says to them, weep no more. Do not cry any longer. How many people know there's a time to stop crying? Right. And start expecting. Amen. Expecting like this dad at this prodigal. He was waiting, looking everywhere, looking down the road, expecting. That's what faith does, you know. Faith, hope always expects. It's hope is confident expectation, knowing that what God said is going to happen, sometimes it's going to happen. And your faith is bringing that in, reeling it in. But it takes some genuine, strong spirituality for every Christian to stand when everything doesn't seem right. It's hard to smile when everything's not going right. Your family's, your marriage is not going right, and your business is not going, money's not coming in, and nothing's happening. But you still have to be nice to people during this time. This is not a license to be mad at people and be angry when you're not going, things are going right, you know? So this dad, he was able to look far beyond his circumstances immediately and look beyond, and he was expecting the son to come home soon because he taught his son and he believed in his God, that God is going to do something or has done something and will do what he said he'll do. Thank God for that. We need dads who have that kind of faith in their children to always believe. Love says, believe the best of everybody. Believe the best of everyone. Certainly believe the best of your children. That things will turn out. And that just because something is like a certain way, and it's been that way for 10, 20 years, or they were sort of born in a certain way, it doesn't mean they have to stay that way. Because your faith can turn things around. We need that kind of faith. Where is that kind of faith? Who has it? You know, we have to believe it. We'll say, well, I don't see anybody around here. Well, let it be you. Brother Hagin used to say, if everybody says on that side that it can't be done, and on this side there's only me and God, I'm going to stick with God, it can be done. Yeah, we preach like that. But what about tomorrow when the devil shows up? We still have to believe that way. So you have to, love, like I always say, you have to look the devil in the eye. You can't be afraid of the devil and his demons and let him push you around. You have to look back at them and say, no, you won't. You're not doing it. Huh? So this dad was waiting. Dad, as dads, we have to believe in our children as they need someone in life to believe in them. I remember one of my daughter's children, and she went home and she told her mom and dad, you know, her mom was a banker. She went to her mom and she wanted to do a certain thing, you know. And mom says, you know what? You better keep your day job. And she says, you don't even believe in me. You know, our kids need to believe in them, even though they say, you know, they want to pick a job that is totally, you don't think as a parent they could ever fit. Yeah. And you get to believe, you say, honey, you go ahead and fail. No, you go ahead and believe. You go ahead and do what you say you're going to do. Thank God for that. We need people who, dads who can do that, believe in their children. We see dad's incredible love in this story. A never-ending love, even loving their children when they've so disappointed them. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that children can bring disappointment to the family and bring hurt to the family, to the dad and to mom. And totally do different and hurt them. And we can certainly feel that. And if we walk by how we feel, we'll never be the kind of dad and parent that we want, that we could be. Because it's not walking by faith when we act on our feelings and emotions. So he believed, this dad believed in this child, even though they squandered off all their money. Everything that he was going to give him before he left. I mean, he destroyed everything before the dad left this world. This child wasn't living right, was living immoral. You know, it's easy to try to discipline your child. And say, I told you so. And, you know, we have to follow what God tells us to, you know, and be a dad and a parent to these children. I'm, you know, moms can take what I'm saying as well. It's not just, it's for everybody. So there's plenty of mistakes. And as a kid, I made a lot of mistakes. As a Christian, I made a lot of mistakes. But God always there was there to forgive me. Sometimes somebody come to me as a spiritual person, as a spiritual dad. I have plenty of spiritual kids who come to me and they talk to me online. And they talk to me about different things. And they've done things that are silly, things that, you know, they call sins, they think it's so terrible. I said, that's nothing. In my mind, I said, that's nothing. Who'd you kill last week? How many banks did you steal, rob, you know? Oh, no, it was just something really small, and they have so heavy in their heart. And you just need to listen. How many people know just listening sometimes is so good? We don't have to always tell everybody what they should do. I believe the Spirit of God in their hearts is telling them. The Bible says the children of righteous, God speaks to our children and talks to them and corrects them. The Bible says they shall be taught of the Lord. And we need to trust that. So, kids will make plenty of mistakes along the way. Father, we need to recognize that the dad was compassionate, even though an older son wasn't so forgiving. Sometimes you have this rivalry in the home. I don't know if you're a dad, you mix up fights. I remember as a kid, my sisters would fight like cats and dogs. My brothers would fight like bulldogs. They come home for dinner, come home for lunch, we call it dinner. And between, you know, noon hour and walk home, and my brother Emil and Gary, they would fist fight because one had more bannock than he had. And you took too much fish. And there'd be food flying around everywhere, bang, bang, bang. Sometimes my sisters, they'd be going out Friday night, they're going somewhere. You took my curling iron. No, I didn't. You got my perfume. What about this blouse? And there'd just be a fight going on, you know. As a dad, you watch those things. And one day, there'll be no fighting in your home because there'll be nobody there. Right? I remember I told my wife, I don't care if they if they come home, mess up the place, dirty everything. I don't care. You go right ahead because I know what it's like when no one's home. I remember my wife was gone to Toronto, and I was home with the dogs for like a month. I think I was home a month last year or the year before, and no man came to me during those times. They didn't know I was alone, I guess, and I'd peek out and see Pastor Ken is there. No, he wasn't. He didn't even come over. So I had the dogs, but you know, it can get pretty lonely without kids once they're gone. Yeah. You gotta. You know, just listening there, laying in bed, thinking, oh, this is how it feels. I was imagining, if my wife died, I'd be alone. We're going to edit this. Don't worry about it. You know, we talk about things like that because, you know, you talk about stuff with your wife now that we never had this conversation when we were in our 30s and 40s and 50s. But now we're getting up there. We say, you know, honey, if you die, you go ahead and get married again if you want to. But don't marry him, because I was thinking about something the other day on Wednesday night. Somebody said, you know, Pastor Roman, I had such a good laugh on Wednesday night. Story you told about something, you know. He said, you know, when I listen to you, I know I'm not crazy. Somebody wrote in from Spirit Alive. He said, Roma, you're just so normal. You're not like other preachers. They just become somebody else on the, just be yourself. And so, you know, there's so many things that happen as a dad that you want. And yesterday, my daughter left for back to Toronto. She presented me a nice T-shirt. Of course, it's a Leaf T-shirt. One of the players. It has number 91 on the back. I don't know if you know who that is, but and she gave me a second sweater of the Raptors and presented me with a beautiful card and a nice plaque on there. It says, Dad. It has all kinds of words on there, what it represented. It's nice to get things like that from your parent or from your children as they honor you. You know, it's nice to have that. And it doesn't always, work out because they're not always home, but I know my children love me. They all love me the same. And even if they're mad at me, I know they love me. As a dad, I just know. I did my part. You know, I know my wife and I, as parents, we did our part. we lived before. If anything else, we've given our children the example of what a Christian marriage should be like. And we were there all the time. They know what it's like, what kind of person they need to look for in a marriage. And we've never sat around the table and talked about our church members in a bad way or people in a bad way. We've always made mention, follow Brother Hagin's example of talking how good the people are to us and give that example to them so that they can follow the same thing and believe in each other and don't talk to each other. I mean, there's sometimes we've... I've been able to try to get them as an ally so that I could overthrow mom's decision about something. And sometimes that happens in families, and in a bad way, and sometimes it's a good way. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:7, the wicked die and disappear, but the family of the godly stands firm. It is our duty as dads to be that firm foundation, to give the Word of God. Because we can't have a firm family if we don't give the Word of God to our children. We don't represent the Word of God, represent God to our children. And our home will stand because we have built a foundation based on the Word of God. We know that, we see, you know, I remember we were making some decisions when our daughters, not too long ago, we said, girls, we want to talk to you this afternoon. There's something very important. And so they were so afraid that they were thinking that mom and dad are splitting up. And so, oh boy, thank you. You know, we were just making some decisions about something because they, in their group of friends, most of their friends are all split up. Their parents, and you know, different things going on. Mom's getting a boo job. Eye job, back job, dad has a job, all kinds of jobs. So, you know, different things going on in life. So we as a family, as a dad, we want to set an example. We want to stand for the Word of God. We want to bring salvation. As a dad, I want to bring salvation. I want to leave this world knowing my kids are going to heaven. The greatest thing in my life is to see my children living right, walking with God. That's the greatest desire I have for my kids. I don't care if they don't become a lawyer, a doctor, or anything else, but I want them to be saved. I want them to follow God. So you can do whatever you want to do in life. Just be what you want to be as far as an occupation is concerned. I'm not pressuring you as a dad. I'm not putting any standard of what you should be. And I've done it. And I have to stop myself and to tell them, you can be what God wants you to be. What does he want you to be? And I've known kids, I've taught in university college level kids, and still they don't know what they want to do. And they say, what do you want to be? I don't know. I don't know what I want. So you have to give people a chance. Some kids know from the very beginning. I knew what I wanted to be, but I didn't listen to God. It took a while for me to follow him. Every dad wants his child to be safe and saved. Every dad's faith will give the family an opportunity to build a sound foundation of their spirituality. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's a promise to dads of any home, to any house. And the New Living Translation says, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And dads, if your children are out not living for God, they might not be doing drugs, but they're doing other things that are far worse, sinister than anything else, that won't kill them right away. They might live a long way in a certain way. But we can believe on the scripture that the house of the righteous shall stand as a man of God. The Good News Bible says, you'll be saved, you and your family. And that's something that we can stand on and believe God at this time. There's a story in the book of Acts 16:20-31, New Living Translation. Are you getting tired? Are you guys okay? Okay. I just want to know because I just kind of sense something here. on dad's, you know, dad's, your faith will affect your children, your entire home, the way you are spiritually, how you carry yourself every day, your prayer life, the way you walk. Your life as a dad will affect your immediate family. Psychologists, sociologists, the people tell us that the mom and dad is so important to the family and how the children will become later on, how strong they become. It's so important. You know, I remember, I'm glad I took developmental psych when I was in college, and later on I took more psych courses like this when I was in university. And I was so, I want answers about my own life and how I was. That's why I took psychology. But I learned about how kids understand things, where their understanding level is at, and how I could talk to them in a way, you know. Sometimes we try to relate to children like they're adults. They're not adults. They don't have the capability of understanding. They're saying even right now, kids to 22, 23 years old, kids will start developing a certain part of their brain that actually can think a certain way. And you know, your kids, that's why 17-year-old kids, boys, when they're driving around, that's why they don't make good decisions driving. And that's why there's a lot of accidents. And there's something to this in terms of the developmental ability of our children. So verse 22 of Acts 16, the mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with rods, with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown in prison. And the jailer ordered to make sure they didn't escape. I mean, these guys are preaching. They're preaching. They just cast the devil out of somebody. How would you like to cast a devil out of somebody? The city people arrested you, and the Thunder Bay police start beating you up. I mean, this, you say, hey, wait a minute, officer. I just helped this guy out here, this woman. And so the jailer, verse 24, put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. How many people know that everyone is listening, even when you're suffering under your own stress and your family problems and your financial problems? People are listening, especially your kids, watching how your faith is working. They're watching you. The closest one to you, and that's why mom and dad, you know, when we live inside our home, they watch everything we do. They watch how we talk about people, how we respect people. They see everything we do. And that's the convincing we need to do right there in our own homes, right? The jailer woke up, verse 27, to see the prison doors wide open. He assured the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted out, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved along with everyone else in your household." We see that a father's decision or a man's decision ahead of a home in this situation affects everyone in their family. The scripture says that when we decide, was reading in the Old Testament, the Bible says that when we decide to follow God and say, "I'm going to follow God," God will take over. He has legal authority to come in your home and begin to talk to your children. As long as we're living right. If we follow God in the way He showed us, He's going to work in your child. Even if they're not living right. We have to have faith in that. That this is happening. And when you're going through hard times, you might not believe this right away. Especially if it's life and death. That you're wondering if it's working or not. And I was listening to Norval Hayes. He said, you know, the devil taunted them that this is not working. It's not working. You know, week after week, month after month, year after year, things going on all the time. He's telling you it's not working. And you can't listen to that. It's the devil talking to you. And so, sometimes we say things that may affect our children in the home. in terms of setting an example to them, a good example. It's what we do in the home, as not as much as what we say, that actually sets the standard for our children. As I mentioned, developmental psychologist tells us that parents and dads are basically the first teachers the children ever encounter in life. They are the examples. They are the teachers. As their parenting goes on, this is a very important aspect of a child's development as a father. We get all our values, our standards, from watching mom and dad in the home interact in life and as they pray, as they read their Bibles. They watch us. They see us. So these dads and or parents forms the standards for loving God, and they set the principles that we live by. And dads, we need to do that. We need to begin to set those examples. That's why the word that you introduce to in your home is so important, and how you introduce it. Not beating your child up with scriptures, but living it, believing it day by day, showing your children about the love of God. You know, Pastor Hagin always pays tribute to his father, Kenneth E. Hagin, Dr. Hagin. He always says, you know, people talk about my dad's faith, but I watched my dad's love. And I watched how he treated people. He always treated, when people, said negative things about him, criticized him, he would just shake his head and say, bless you, bless you. He would never lash out. And people say, why don't you just lash out once in a while? Why don't you speak up for yourself? Don't you ever speak up for yourself? Well, Jesus, when he was being criticized, he opened not his mouth, the Bible says. Isaiah said he wouldn't open his mouth. And they was wondering why. They say, are you the king of the Jews? He said, you say I am. And he wouldn't open up his mouth. No guile, the Bible says, found in his mouth. This is what God says about Abraham's fatherhood. I'd like to read this in the Common English Bible, and we can close with this. I have formed a relationship with him, that is Abraham, so that he will instruct his children and his household after him. They will keep the Lord's path, being moral and just, so that the Lord can do for everything that he said he would. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go. The word train is actually a word that says model and live a lifestyle that you're showing in a practical way. Well, I hope I encourage dads. Are you feeling encouraged?
Yeah.
Two people. I hear Pastor Dave. And he doesn't count. We're going to have a repentance time for dads to come up here. All you wicked dads, come on up. This is the time. So, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God. I don't know if you're at home this morning listening to this. I pray that you got encouraged. Hallelujah. Let's all go ahead and stand up. In the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's rejoice and thank God for fathers for this day. Let's honor our dads. Father, we honor. Let's honor our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. We lift up our hands in the presence of Almighty God, our own Father, the ultimate Father, who loved us and sent His Son Jesus to die for us. Father, we honor You. We are Your very own children. Help us to be the representation of what You would have us to be in our own homes as dads today. As we honor our dads, we thank You for our parents. We thank You for our dads. We thank You for they did what they did, knowing what they knew with what they had. So we've had the privilege and honor of studying the Bible where they never had. My dad never read a Bible. He never read. But he lived to be an old man without ever reading anything. And if he can live, my dad can be live to be an old age of in his 80s. Imagine what I can do. What I courage and the encouragement I can have. Thank you, Lord God. I want to praise you. I want to thank you for my dad and that example he set for me. The strength that he displayed, the courage that he had, and the tenacity and the ability to provide. I thank you. I want to thank you for him today. Thank you, Father, for giving me a dad that I can enjoy, that I've enjoyed. He said to me, I look like my dad. And I look like you too, Lord, in my ways. Thank you. I reflect the very image of the Father. We reflect our fathers. Thank you, Lord God. I pray for every person who's had a very tough time with this kind of day. I pray that somehow they find peace. They see something good. The Word of God will just melt away everything that causes hurt and pain in their lives. And we pray that everyone would be healed if they've been injured by their fathers. We know that dads are there's different ways that dads come for various reasons. We pray that whatever healing that needs to be done, we pray a mighty anointing, healing anointing would flow in those areas of the pain and hurt. We thank you for that. Whatever it is that will be taken away, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's ministering to those people right now. Thank you, Lord God. Help us to be better dads, to be stronger dads, to be mindful of who we are and what we represent. And no matter where we are in life, we can become better, especially in our homes. Thank you for the grace that we don't have to do this alone. Would you give us the grace to be what we should be? And I thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. We pray for everyone, Lord God, who hasn't had a chance to come to Jesus this morning. We pray that they'd come to Jesus, that you are the Son of God. We pray that everyone would come to Jesus. You said that you desire that everyone would come to know salvation. That is through your Son, Jesus. To believe that God, you sent Jesus to die for us, for our sins, for the whole world. That if we put our faith and trust in Him, that we would be saved from the wrath to come. We receive this forgiveness. So we thank you. We believe that Jesus is your Son. We believe in our hearts, and we say with our mouth, I'm now born again. And everyone else who's been away from God, they say, Lord, forgive me. I'm coming back home like the wayward son. I'm coming home in Jesus' name. Amen.